Welcome to those that are listening to us. Being that tonight in Israel, the holiday of Hanukkah is going to begin, we'll try to devote this shiur today to the topic of Hanukkah. Rabbi Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov's main student, in Likutei Halachos, in the section entitled Yoredeya, the second section, Chelek Sheni, in the laws of Kilei Behema, Halacha Dalid, goes into a major discussion which leads into a clarification of the holiday of Hanukkah. We'll try to discuss that, and we'll try several times in the middle to pause to invite questions or comments. We know that the Jews throughout the Torah are referred to as a sheep among 70 wolves. The 70 wolves represent 70 nations of the world, which are discussed in the context of being divided into two groups of 35 each. And these two groups are led by the two leading nations, which are Esav and Yishmael. Esav was the son of Yitzchak Avinu. Yishmael was the son of Avram Avinu. These two are referred to as the two leaders of the 70 nations, and they're referred to as the two leaders of the Klipa, of Tumah. They are represented in the Torah many times by the concept of the ox and the donkey, the shoyer and chamor, and there are different associations to show the symbolism why they're referred to specifically as that, shoyer and chamor. Rabbi Nosson Zal explains to us that Rabbi Nachman tells us in the second chapter of the second half of Likutei Moran, he discusses the 6 days of the week versus Shabbos. And Rabbi Nachman explains that the 6 days of the week symbolize the differences in the physical world. Once again, for those that didn't know or just came in, we're discussing Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelek Sheni, Hilchos Kilei Behema, Halacha Dalid. The 6 days of the week represent the six attributes of Hashem: Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, and Yesod. Here is where we see a concept of variety, a concept of differences, opposites. Chesed and Gevura, for example, kindness and harshness, a right side and a left side. Whereas these six attributes of Hashem corresponding to the 6 days of the week, whereas the seventh attribute of Hashem, Malchus, corresponds to Shabbos. Shabbos is known as one. We know that in the third and final prayer of Shabbos, the Mincha that we say on Shabbos afternoon, the Shmon Esrei begins with the words Ato Echod, Veshimcho Echod, Umi Kamcha Yisrael Goy Echod Boretz. You, Hashem, are one, and your title, your name is one, and who is like your nation, the Jewish people, one nation in the world. And in fact, we're told that this is the greatness of Klal Yisrael, the greatness and the success of Klal Yisrael is dependent on their oneness. Just as we find that one of the most important moments in Jewish history, when the Jews received the Torah on Mount Sinai, the Torah tells us that immediately preceding that, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ohor, the Jews rested by the mountain, near the mountain, Mount Sinai, and it uses the word Vayichan, which is singular. And the Gemara highlights this point, that they were there, united as one, and that's what made them ready to receive the Torah, that's what made them ready to take this position as Hashem's chosen nation, versus the other nations, which are known to as Elokim Acherim. The Jewish people, the declaration of our faith in Hashem is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, that Hashem is one, versus the other nations, where in the Ten Commandments, the Pasuk says, Lo yelecha Elokim Acherim al ponai, do not accept other idols, idols plural, other deities plural. So that again, the symbolism in the 6 days of the week versus the Shabbos represents these other nations, the 70 nations, versus the one nation of Am Yisrael. And the Torah gives us a mitzvah that a Jew is not permitted to plow or to work with two different animals together. To put two, the example that the Torah gives is Shor v'chamor, lo yisachroish b'shor v'chamor yachdov. Do not plow or do any other type of work using two completely different types of animals, putting them together under one yoke. Rav Nosson Zal explains that the symbolism in this is that the ox and the donkey, who represent Esav and Yishmael, who represent the other nations, who represent the 6 days of the week, one of the things that makes it impossible for a Jew to handle the exile, the period of time that we find ourselves in exile, like today, is when a person feels that everything is coming at them at one time, or that there's too much coming at the person at one time. Each person knows that there's a certain amount that they can handle, and if you double that, or if you add to that, that's when the person reaches a point where they can't handle it because it's too much. And Rav Nosson Zal explains that this is the concept that the Torah is teaching us, that the ox and the donkey, which represent Esav and Yishmael, which represent the concept of the 6 days of the week, the time that we're working, it's very important to be careful to see to it that they're kept separately, that a person views them as separate items, and as separate items, a person can handle them. A person can handle each problem if they know it's coming at them one at a time. Whereas if a person looks at their problems, at their difficulties, at all coming at them at one time, that's when the person could easily get overwhelmed and feel that they can't handle it. Now we find, for instance, when the Torah describes Shabbos, the day of holiness, the day of rest, peacefulness, peace of mind, the Torah says that not only is a person, does a Jew rest on Shabbos, but in addition, leman yonuach shorcha v'chamorcha, so that your ox and your donkey will also rest on Shabbos, implying that Shabbos, which is the day of oneness, the day of unity of Klal Yisrael, Atu Echod v'Shimcha Echod, as we mentioned before, that's when a person is able to lay to rest and to subdue completely these other 70 nations, these that represent the different klipos, the different forms of tuma, to be able to subdue them completely. We find another example of this when Yaakov Avinu, the third forefather of the Jews, when he arrived at the holiest site of the world, the place where eventually the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, would be built, the Torah tells us that he was about to lay down and there were stones there. There were 12 stones in the area, and each one of these 12 stones wanted the tzaddik Yaakov Avinu to lay his head upon them. And Hashem made a miracle, and he took all 12 stones and put them together, crushed them together into one. Yaakov Avinu lay his head to rest on that one stone, which was a composite of all 12. The 12 stones there symbolize the 12 tribes that would be the Jewish nation that was eventually going to come from Yaakov Avinu, and the unity between them, joining them together as one stone, implied that this is the greatness of Am Yisrael. This is the distinguishing factor of the Jewish people, and this is our success depends specifically on this, our oneness, our unity, and our ability to take our diversity. It's not that we're all created as one, because each and every single Jew thinks differently. There's the famous joke about the two Jews and the three different opinions. And yet, having the ability, despite the fact that we're different, intelligent, but different, and being able to unite, being able to join together as one congregation, whether it be getting together for tefillah, to pray together, or whether it be getting together to study Torah together, to be able to take the pu'ulois mishtanois, the differences, the diversity, and bring it all together as one, that's the greatness, that's the beauty of Klal Yisrael, that's what Hashem loves most about us. And Rav Nosson Zal, in this chapter, there's several places that he refers to Hanukkah. Maybe I'll try to read some of the paragraphs, or some parts of the paragraph, to illustrate this. Paragraph Dalid in Hilchas Kilei Behema, Halacha Dalid. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh b'chinas Chanukah, because the days of Chanukah are days of praise of Hashem, meaning that through the great miracles that Hashem performed for us on this day, that's what gives us the ability to always be able to find ways to praise Hashem over the miracles both that He did for our forefathers and the miracles that He does for us, both on a general level as a nation and individually. And to always be able to remember the good things, as Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, V'al tishkechi kol gemulov. Because Rav Nosson Zal points out that this path of praising and thanking Hashem is a tremendous, tremendous help to a person in being able to come close to Hashem. Because we know the fact is that this physical world that we're living in is full of suffering and difficulty and obstacles. As the pasuk says, kol yomov kas u'machoivos. Or another pasuk that says, odom lo omol yulod k'tsar yomim u'svaroiges. And because of the fact that there is so much suffering and difficulties and obstacles and heaviness, this is what makes it hard for a person to become close to Hashem, or to pray to Hashem, or to even discuss his suffering with Hashem and seek Hashem's help. Because of the fact that the person many times feels overwhelmed by all the difficulties, which make it difficult for a person to open their mouth. And therefore, one of the most important suggestions that Rabbeinu Zal emphasizes to us is for the person to always see to it, to be able to remember the good times, to be able to remember the good things that happened to them, especially the fact that we're privileged to be part of the Jewish people, those who receive the Torah. As we say three times a day in Shmon Esrei, Noida lecha unesaperti losecha, we will praise you, al chayenu amsurim yodecha, regarding our life that you're in control of, valnisecha shebechol yom imanu, and thank you for the miracles that you perform for us every day, valnifloisecha v'toivoisecha, and the wonders and the goodness, shebechol eis erev avoike v'tzoroyim, which we experience at all times, in the evening, in the morning, in the afternoon. And as we say in Nishmas, on Shabbos morning, Ilufinu male shiro kayam, if our lips were full of song like the water of the ocean, Ein anu maspikim lahoides lecha Hashem alokeinu, we could never, ever say enough to praise you, Hashem, for the nisim v'neflois that you've done for our forefathers and for us. And Rav Nosson Zal says, Haklal shekishodam roya goydel tzoroisov beguf nefesh u'mamon. When a person sees and feels that they're going through so much suffering physically, spiritually, financially, shehu rochok mehashem yisborach moed, and the person is feeling far from Hashem, v'gam beparnoso beguf yesh lo gam ken yisurim, and financially and bodily there's suffering, as we find among most people. Person has to be very careful not to feel totally lost and totally destroyed from the suffering, but rather each and every single time, especially at a time of suffering, to be able to think and identify good things that Hashem has done for the person. And each and every person has the ability to find those things, to identify those things. And by doing that, that'll give the person confidence that just as Hashem has done good things for me in the past, He's not going to let me fall now. As King David says, Mi yovileni ir mivtzor, mi nochani ad edoim. Who has helped me till now? And then he goes straight into saying, Mehulol ekra Hashem. That therefore I praise you with my whole heart, Hashem. Before I go into discussing my pain and my suffering and the problems that I'm having now, first I recognize the good things, the happy moments. And then he says, Zoveach lelokim toido, I offer a thanks offering to Hashem, ukraeni b'yom tzara, and I cry out to you during my day of suffering. Meaning that even before I'm privileged to get out of the pain and suffering that I'm in right now, I first offer a thanks offering for the good times of the past, and that's what gives me the ability for Ukraini Biyom Tzora, to cry out to you during my time of suffering. As the Gemara says, that a person has to be Moid Alovor, Umavake Shalahabo, that in order to be able to ask for what one needs in the present and the future, the person has to first be able to recognize the goodness in the past, and be able to acknowledge that and praise Hashem for that. And this is the concept of the fact that the 6 days of the week are followed and preceded by a Shabbos. So that the 6 days of the week, which represent days of work and struggle, person thinks, how are they going to get through that difficult time? And the answer is, the way that we get through it is both by remembering the previous Shabbos and looking forward to the coming Shabbos. That's what gives a person the ability to make it during the turbulence of the 6 days of the week, during the time that they're working and struggling, and working represents interacting with the 70 nations and interacting with all the different struggles. And this is why we find that we begin the Shabbos with the prayer, Hoidu Lashem Kitoiv Kiloilom Chazdoi, chapter 107 in Tehillim, where we discuss the four different types of people, the four different categories, which summarize all the different types of suffering that a person experiences in this world, especially the most important suffering being the spiritual suffering that a person goes through when they're not yet feeling close to Hashem and successful religiously. And we discuss that. That's how we enter into the Shabbos. And in each section of that paragraph, each time Dovra Melech says, Vayitzaku al Hashem, that they cry out to Hashem. However, the crying out to Hashem is always intermingled, and it begins with those words, Hoidu Lashem Kitoiv Kilolam Chazdai. Let us praise Hashem and thank Hashem, because Hashem's kindness is everlasting. And it's that awareness that gives us the ability to be able to describe our suffering, our problem, and to seek Hashem's help and support in getting through it and getting out of the suffering. And the reason why we begin the Shabbos with that is to show that the bridge between Shabbos and the 6 days of the week is this Hoidu Lashem Kitoiv Kiloilam Chazdoi. That's how we make a bridge to be able to draw from the holiness and the goodness of Shabbos into the 6 days of the week. Rav Nosson Zal says this is also the concept in paragraph Ches, that this is the concept of not plowing or not working with the ox and the donkey together, which represent the nations of Esav and Yishmael, meaning for a person to be careful not to mix their suffering, their problems, but rather to be able to look at them individually, separately, so that the person doesn't get completely overwhelmed by them. And Rav Nosson Zal says this is the concept where we find that Yaakov Avinu, the third and greatest of the forefather of the Jews, when he was bringing a present to Esav, and he had his animals, and he told those that were setting up the animals, Varevach tosimu bein eder uvein eder, that I want you to make sure to leave room between one group of animals and the other group of animals. Rav Nosson Zal says that this represents bein tzora v'tzora, bein golus l'golus, that Yaakov Avinu, who was the one who succeeded in subduing, in overcoming the klipa of Esav and Yishmael, which are represented by the ox and the donkey, as we find that when he finally met Esav, he said to him, Vayehi li shoer v'chamor, you see that I own the ox and the donkey, implying that I rule over them. I have succeeded in overcoming them. And the way, one of the ways that he was able to do it was by his realization, his understanding of not allowing himself to be overwhelmed by looking at everything, looking at all the problems as coming at him at one time, but rather to be able to lay them out separately and to be able to find, to identify the good times, to be able to identify the good points between the suffering and highlight those, focus on those, and thank Hashem for those, and thereby get the encouragement that he needs to seek Hashem's help in overcoming the suffering that he's going through at the current moment. Now in paragraph Tess, Rav Nosson Zal tells us that this is all the concept of Chanukah, because during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the second temple, when the Greeks rose up and wanted to try to get the Jews to forget the Torah, and they wanted to try to block the service of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and the great Tzadikim Matisyahu and his sons, the Kohanim, succeeded in defeating them and restoring the service in the Beis HaMikdash through the great miracle of Chanukah. Even though, despite the fact that during the second Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't a Geula Shlema, the Jews did not experience a total redemption from exile, it was an aspect of this Verevach Tosimu Bein Eder Uvein Eder. It was an aspect of the Jews getting some breathing time, some breathing space between different categories of suffering, between different difficult times. And the kingdom of the Greeks, they realized that, they knew that if a Jew feels that he has time to breathe, time to recoup his strength, time to think and remember the good times, the person will definitely be able to get through the difficult times. And this is why Rav Nosson Zal says, this is why the Greeks are called Malchus Yavon. The word Yavon corresponds to the term Tit Hayovein, a bottomless pit, as Dovid HaMelech refers to his how he felt about his suffering at times, as Tovu Biyevein Mitzula Vein Mamad, that I feel myself drowning in very, very deep depths from which I can't get up. I can't get up from it. I can't get out of it. Meaning a concept of an exile that's so long, or where the suffering is immediate. One suffering follows the other immediately, where a person doesn't have the time to recoup his strength. This is what the Greeks were hoping to do to Klal Yisrael, to rob them of that intermediate period, that break in the suffering, where the Jews would have this bias sheni, which even though it wasn't a complete redemption, it would be somewhat of a good time, somewhat of a time of serenity and closeness to Hashem, which would give us the ability to make it through the long exile. And Hashem, fortunately, gave Matisyo and his sons the wherewithal and the faith to stand up against the Yevonim and to be able to restore the service of the Beis HaMikdash for over 200 years. Thereby giving us the strength that we need to be able to make it through this third and final Golos. And Rav Nosson Zal says that this is one of the reasons why the holiday is called Chanukah. Chanukah means a renewal of the service of the Beis HaMikdash, and also a concept of renewing ourselves. Through the fact that we praise Hashem for the great miracles that He did for us for the past, this is what gives us confidence that Hashem will also listen to our prayers at all times throughout the Golos until we get to the final and complete redemption. Rav Nosson Zal points out that this concept of the 8 days of Chanukah, why we celebrate 8 days specifically, Rabbi Nachman mentions in Likutei Moran, in the second chapter, in the second half of Likutei Moran, that truth, emes, comes in 3 channels. We know that the word emes itself, aleph, mem, tuf, the aleph is the beginning of the Hebrew alphabet. The tuf is the last, final and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the mem is the middle letter of the alphabet, showing that this term emes is a light that encompasses everything from beginning to end, everything completely. And Rabbi Nachman there discusses these 3 channels of emes, shining into the 4 types of speech that he discusses in that chapter, which encompass all aspects of a person's speech. And Rav Nosson Zal here explains that these 3 channels of truth shining into the 4 divisions of speech, these encompass the 7 days of the week. The time when this happens in its fullest, in its best form, is on Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that on Shabbos, even the least religious person feels uncomfortable telling a lie. That Shabbos is a time of truth, a time of emes, a time of light. We light the candles, we bring the Shabbos into the home by the woman lighting the candles. Candles are light, and light is truth. The Pasuk says, Hashem o'ircho v'amitcho, Hashem is your light and your truth. So that on Shabbos is when we see the fullest form of these 3 channels of truth shining into the 4 divisions of speech. So that's this 7th day of Shabbos. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that the 8 days of Chanukah, and specifically the 8th day of Chanukah, is when we reach a height where we have the ability to take the light of Shabbos, Shabbos being the 7th day, and take that light and shine it into the 6 days of the week. Bridge it with the 6 days of the week. And that's the real shlemus, meaning when we're able to take our happiness, our happy moment, our happy day, which is Shabbos, and not just enjoy its happiness on that day, but experience it to such a level of fullness that it gives us the strength and the encouragement to bring that light into the 6 days of the week, that even though when we're going through struggle and difficulty, and even though when we're rubbing shoulders with the other 70 nations, with the Shor V'Chamor, with the 6 days of the work, we have the confidence and the encouragement and the faith that by remembering the good times that we've had and the successes that we have had, that we'll also be able to overcome the difficulties and the pain and suffering and struggle now till we get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, till we get to the final redemption, which will be eventually with the coming of Moshiach. Rav Nosson Zal says this is also the message in the fact that the Torah tells us about the menorah, the candelabra, in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash, that it was a seven-rung candelabra, corresponding to all 7 days of the week, and yet it was miksha achas. The menorah had to be carved out from one piece of gold. It wasn't allowed to be, there were no two separate pieces of gold put together. It was complete oneness, implying that this is the secret of the success of Klal Yisrael, and this is the secret of the success of an individual Jew, this concept of Atu Echod, V'Shimcha Echod, Imi Kamcha, Yisrael Goy Echod Boretz, this realization that all the diversity, all the differences, we see these 70 nations, and we see the Jewish people themselves, Lahavdil, with such diversity, so many different opinions, so many different attitudes, the realization that it's all coming from Achdus HaPoshut. It's all coming from one Hashem, a Hashem who is oneness, and the oneness is a goodness. When there's two or more, then you could say better and worse, good and bad. If the moment we conceive of one, a Hashem who is one, that oneness represents a goodness, an Achdus HaPoshut. Rabbi Nachman tells us in a chapter in the Kutim Ran that the word Echod, one, has the same numerical value in Hebrew as the word Ahava, Ahava meaning love. That the moment that a person is able to recognize that all the diversity and all the day and night, good and bad, that a person seems to be experiencing this world, that it's all coming from Hashem Echod, it's coming from one Hashem, who's in charge of it all, and controlling it all, and guiding it all, that moment, that person will realize that even when they're experiencing difficulty and suffering, it's coming from a Hashem who really loves us. It's coming from a place of Ahava, and the person will be able to find the good in it, and be able to crawl out from the difficulty, from the pain and suffering. We'll hold it over here for right now. If there are any questions or comments, we'll open the floor for that, please.
So you have to bring it back and then come back. Admin, give mics to run. It isn't good. Yes, okay.
And you have to press control if you want.
Okay. Okay. There's certainly good in everything that Hashem created in this world. I'm sorry, there certainly is good in everything that Hashem created in this world.
First of all, thank you for this. And earlier you were talking about suffering and so on and so forth, and how we should praise Hashem anyway, and blah, blah, blah. My son, I think I might have mentioned this before. My son died a few years ago. Through a lot of suffering. We were talking about suffering. Now that he's gone, I'm suffering because I'm learning to live the rest of my life without him. But do you have any advice or any recommendations for some to view them that would be good for me to read regarding how I can move from a place from basically reflecting on his death and suffering to moving to a place where I focus more on his life instead of his death. I find that hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosazal emphasize that that's what the entire book of Tehillim is really all about. Just about every chapter in Tehillim and Psalms, we see King David.
There's a
press down in control. I am. Somehow. We see King David discussing his suffering and at the same time being able to reflect on the good times, and being able to seek comfort from Hashem, comfort and strength. That's literally the theme that goes through the entire book of Psalms. And Rabbi Nosazal says that that's the prototype for us. That's a Jew's attitude, and that's how our prayers are supposed to be established. That there's an awareness of the difficulty and the problems and the suffering, and at the same time, there's the ability to focus on the good. I apologize. I was pushing the wrong button. I'm pushing this. Please, I apologize. I was holding the wrong button down when I was speaking. That's why you weren't able to hear me. I'm sorry. I was saying that the entire book of Psalms, the entire book of Tehillim, is a mix and match. Rabbi Nosazal, in fact, in this chapter that we just quoted, he gives an example when he's running away from his son Avshalom. And he says that in the chapter of Psalms which discusses that, which is all the way, I believe it's chapter 3 in Psalms, it begins with the words Mizmor LeDavid, a song to King David, Bevorchoi Mepnei Avshalom Benoi, when he was running away from his son Avshalom, who was leading a rebellion and wanted to murder his father. And he begins by saying, Hashem Morabu Tzoroi, Hashem, my suffering is so great. And the Gemara tells us if he's about to discuss his suffering, why does he begin with the words a song to King David? Why doesn't he say a lamentation to David, Kino LeDavid? And the Gemara says that King David, when he realized that it's his son that's rebelling against him, he said to himself, I know that a son has to have some pity on his father, and I'm sure that there's going to be something good that would be much worse for me if it were a person who were not my son. You know, that would have less reason to have pity on me. And in this paragraph, the sixth paragraph of this halacha, Rav Nosazal discusses this at great length, that even though King David saw that he was going through tremendous suffering at the time, he was forced to flee his house and his city, and he was reminded of the fact that this had come upon him because of the fact that he had married Bathsheba, and all of his enemies were trying to make him feel that there's no hope for him. King David was able to, as he writes there, Rabim Omrim Lenafshi Ein Yeshua Selo Velkim Selo, that there are many that are telling me that there's no hope, that I can't turn to Hashem because of the fact that I myself have sinned against Hashem. But still, he consoled himself by saying that he knew, as he recites in the rest of that paragraph, that third paragraph of Tehillim, that he knows that Hashem is with him and Hashem is going to help him, and confident that he's going to get through the suffering. And Rav Nosazal writes there that you'll see that there are many chapters of Tehillim that follow this format. And this is why it's called the Book of Tehillim. Tehillim means praise to Hashem, whereby even though throughout Tehillim he's constantly screaming, crying out to Hashem and asking for help and asking for different things, his crying out for help is always intermingled with his praise for Hashem, with his song to Hashem, as the Gemara tells us that Tehillim is composed of all 10 different types of praises and songs to Hashem, that within his suffering, he always had the ability to find what to praise Hashem for, what to thank Hashem for. Ish Chayal, anxious to hear what you have to say, please. First of all, one of the sources of that is the Arizal, who emphasizes that the wording should be Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, and he gives us a variety of reasons and a variety of secrets that are found in these words. Number one, we know that the source, when we speak about the source of light coming from Hashem, we refer to Hashem as Nachal Noveah Mekor Chochma, as a flowing stream. Which originates in Chochmah. The word Nachal makes up the first letters of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. And the Arizal discusses and elaborates also the concept of the 13 words, the exact number of 13 words in that blessing, if we leave out the word Shel, corresponding to the 13 attributes of kindness which flow on Hanukkah specifically. The Arizal shows how starting from the first day of Hanukkah through the first 7 days of Hanukkah, that's when we experience the first seven of the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem, which are Kel, number one, Rachum, number two, V'chanun, number three, Erech, number four, Apayim, number five, V'rav Chesed, number six, V'emet, number seven. And V'emet refers to Yaakov Avinu, who was called Emet, Titein Emet LiYaakov. And in fact, the word Yaakov is the numerical value of seven times Hashem's name. Seven times 26 is exactly 182. Which is Yaakov, and the Arizal tells us that on the eighth day is when the remaining six attributes of Hashem's kindness, starting from Notzer Chesed, Lo Alofim, Nosiavon, Vafeshev, Ratov, and Ake, those remaining six all shine brightly on that eighth day of Chanukah. And the reason why it's broken out into this seven and six is corresponding to the light of Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov, we said, has the numerical value of six times Hashem's name Yudke Vavke, six times 26. The word Yosef, Yud Vav Samach Pei, which has a numerical value of 156, is exactly six times Hashem's name Yudke Vavke. So that the seven and six together give us 13 times Yudke, 13 times the name of Hashem, corresponding to the 13 attributes of Hashem which shine brightly on these 8 days of Hanukkah. Once again, this is the Arizal's explanation, and this is what the Hasidim generally follow. However, Lahadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah is the custom of many, many Jews.